Hello there, this is Al the Bishop Hobbs.
Rest in power. AM 1310, The Light.
This is Al the Bishop Hobbs.
We pay tribute to Al the Bishop Hobbs on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. In the studio with me is Dr. Leonard Scott, President and CEO of Indy's Own, Ty Scott Records, Sidney Scott, a Director of A&R. That means getting all the music and the songs and the songwriters and the singers and the stuff that goes on the CD and the downloads, records today. And also on our live line, let me weave in, Pastor of Eastern Star Church, Pastor Jeffrey Johnson. Pastor and Dr. Scott, Sidney Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me ask
you. How you doing, Amos Brown?
I'm fine, sir. Let me ask each of you, starting with Dr. Leonard Scott, what is Al Hobbs' legacy?
Ah, man, it's so much. But I guess from a record company standpoint, the Gospel Music Workshop of America, right. Man, he was the driving force behind GMWA from back in the day when James Cleveland was still living.
Right.
Al ran the show. Yeah.
Sidney?
Well, there's a very broad scope on Al, and I would say his legacy is the GMWA, his ability for talent, his knack for innovation and vision, and the deposits that he's made into the lives of both those in gospel and not in gospel, and just the ability to pull people together and his knack for understanding people and how they work.
Pastor Johnson.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about Al Hobbs was just his ability to be able to encourage and empower other people. You know, people sang his songs and he touched lives across the country, but to be able to help people with their gifts, skills, and ability, and empower them so that they too can edify and build up the body of Christ. So we certainly appreciate all that he did.
Let me raise this, because when I think about the Gospel Music Workshop and when I watched from a distance the transition from James Cleveland and then Al Hobbs stepping in that role, we've seen a lot of times both in ministry, in faith-based organizations and in secular organizations created by one individual who runs the organization, who founded the organization, who moves it, you know, into greatness, and then God calls that individual home from service. And then the next person up, a lot of times that's when the organization flounders, because you're coming behind big shoes. And now looking at it after several years, looks like Al Hobbs was the Andrew Luck coming behind Peyton Manning. Is that a fair comparison, Dr. Scott?
I would say so. Al literally ran the show at the GMWA. And, of course, James Cleveland was the star power,
right?
The draw. Mm-hmm. But as far as like getting things done, as far as like that convention running,
right.
He was running it.
Pastor Johnson, is there a lesson there in terms of an organization founded by somebody and then, okay, next person up? A lot of times it hasn't worked.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of times we have to understand the anointing of God on somebody like Al Hobbs, especially following a legend, which is in many cases, as you pointed out, sometimes almost impossible to follow a legend, and people like James Cleveland becoming the face of that organization. But as Bishop Scott has told us, that when you got somebody who's working behind the scene with the gift of administration, that knows how to encourage others and empower others, and I think we found that with Al Hobbs. And I don't even know if Indianapolis can really appreciate the gift that God gave us with him. I think a lot of times when you're that close to somebody and you see them all the time when you're in the same city, we kind of miss some things. But around the country, people certainly can attest to the fact that the Spirit of God was moving Al Hobbs in a mighty way.
Does it also, and I've raised this, you know, several times today, the fact that Al, and to me, it's kind of personal, to me, he was my graduate school. You know, people say, why didn't you go to graduate school? I went to graduate school. It was the graduate school of Al the Bishop Hobbs. Taught me more things that they don't teach at a business school.
Right.
You know, Pastor, when I came here, I thought Mother's Day was the second Sunday in May. Then Al Hobbs really taught me what Mother's Day really was. You know, every month around the third. See, I didn't know that. I had to learn things. But in today's society, Pastor, somebody that just had the education that Al Hobbs had wouldn't even get in the door at the grocery store. You know, it's got to be a lesson that you just can't look at a person's cover and just assume they can't do the job.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Amos, that hard work mm-hmm. kind of transcends yeah. some of that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to put down education. Yeah. You know, I've certainly invested enough in education to show my appreciation for it. But I think sometimes hard work can transcend that, and somebody that can learn from others and understand what it, being a mentoree is mm-hmm. and benefiting from the skills and abilities of others, and then turn that around and find your own voice. Mm-hmm. And you know, Al certainly had a love of God.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes God just lays his hands on some people
mm-hmm.
and does some things with them that he doesn't do with others. And we've seen that with Al Hobbs, and certainly Indianapolis and the country has benefited from that.
Leonard Scott, the doors that Al Hobbs opened, or the eyes, but door's the wrong word, the eyes that he opened that there was greatness in gospel music in Indianapolis. Did that help open the door for Ty Scott?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can remember the first, some of the first conventions we went to. You know, convention is divided up into different areas.
Right.
And we would spend all our time in what we called GAG, the Gospel mm-hmm. Announcers Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And Al has been over that from the beginning.
Right.
He ran, you know, the guild. And this is announcers from all over the nation who gather together, and you have an opportunity to present your artists,
yeah.
your recordings, and Al really he helped us. He yeah. helped a young one record company out of Indianapolis
right.
To be able to present to announcers all over the nation and to get a foot in the door. It's not an easy thing to get a foot in the door.
No, it's not.
Not at all. It's very difficult. And, I believe that, God places people as Pastor Johnson has said, places people at strategic places, to get things done that you can't do on your own.
Jeffrey Johnson, anything particular that stands out today in your mind as we're all thinking about all the things he did?
You know, for me, with somebody like that, because I'm limited, and I'm not like Bishop Scott who can do 20 different things.
Right.
So it amazes me when we see somebody like Al Hobbs
that can
write and produce and lead and administrate and have that unique voice, both figuratively and literally. It just amazes me to be able to touch so many different areas and different people, you know, God has given everybody in the body of Christ at least one gift of the Spirit. No one person has every gift, mm-hmm. but everybody has at least one. So when somebody is a one talent person like myself can look at a five talent person like Al Hobbs, to me, that is amazing to do so many different things well when we all know how hard it is to do one thing well.
Mm.
And that's kind of the thing to say. And again, I point back to the Spirit of God, that's the anointing of God's Holy Spirit on a person to be able to do that. And for him, Al Hobbs, to be receptive to God's move and be able to do several things at a very, very high level and touch people across the country and world. So that's what stands out in my mind about him.
Pastor Jeffrey Johnson, you know, it's always good to talk to you, you know, particularly in times like these when, you know, hearts are heavy, because we're going to miss the physicality of a friend and a colleague. But we remember all the good things that he did, and then that's what keeps us moving.
Yeah, and Amos, let me just say, I celebrate you and AM1310 for taking this time out so that it is not a negative, depressing thing, but it is a celebration of life.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that we're here for a very short moment, and you got to do the best you can in that short time, and that's what Al Hobbs did. So thank you for taking this time out so that we can celebrate his life and celebrate his accomplishments and reflect back on. I don't want to, you know, I was a kid when I first heard him on WTLC back in the day doing that gospel music. So thank you for helping us to reflect and remember and not be depressed, but to celebrate the life of a Christian, a believer, of a child of God.
All right, appreciate that. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. His name is Pastor Jeffrey Johnson. Drops off. Let me go to Deborah at 239-1310. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I would just like to say, Amos, that God truly had his hands on at a young age. I remember when he sang with the Music Masters.
Mm, wow.
And I used to follow them around because my grandfather sang in a gospel group at a male chorus. So I was at Bugs Temple all the time, and the Music Masters were there, and wherever they went seemed to be back in the day was when they had the Sunday teas after church. Yes. And one time when Al was starting out at that time, I went to school at Terre Haute at Indiana State, and the little church I went to needed somebody to sing because the group they had gotten canceled on them. And I said, I got the perfect group, the Music Masters. And they were so ecstatic that somebody knew them enough to come down and sing. And I've heard y'all say he would do stuff for free. And they did. They didn't ask for any money. They just took the day and came and celebrated the pastor's anniversary. And I've always been a fan of ours and the groups. And I just want to say my condolences go out to his children and his family. And God truly has an angel, because not only is his voice unique, but his singing voice was unique also. So I just want, you know, them to know that my condolences go out to them, and that they all be blessed and know that he's in a better place now.
I appreciate it, Deborah. Let me go to Jonathan at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. This is Jonathan Thompson. I'm calling to give my tribute to the late, great Al Hobbs, and want to thank you for doing this tribute. Real briefly, my first introduction to Al Hobbs, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. My father was the church engineer at Grace Apostolic Church, and after Sunday morning would drop off the reel-to-reel tapes at the old WTLC yard where Al Hobbs, Roger Holloway, Super J Johnson used to do radio on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always impressed by him and the staff and the work they did and the excellence I heard, not only on the radio, but watched how they did excellence. The thing that's big to me, coming from Indiana and then being able to travel and go around the country, was that Al Hobbs was a true visionary. Without a vision, the people perish. To me, Black Indianapolis would not have had a voice or the type of voice we became without the work of Al Hobbs. And I was always impressed by his ability to engage young people, to inspire young people. I was inspired by him not only musically and being in the music business and working with Dr. Leonard Scott and some of the others at Ty Scott Records, but I was also inspired by him as an entrepreneur, as a salesperson, as a radio person. I got a chance because of him to pursue radio. My brother and I, Stephen Lamont Thompson, some of you may know him as Bishop Thompson, to do radio at another station. And we were all, frankly, radio children of Al the Bishop Hobbs. There was Perry Broadnex. There was myself, Robert Turner. I had the humble privilege of training Robert Turner on the drawboards. But Al Hobbs exposed me to a presentation and a world that I would not have been exposed to without his work, without his life, and without his ministry. And wherever I traveled, if I mentioned and brought up his name, it got me in the door, and they spoke of him with great respect. I actually heard the tribute that Yolanda Adams gave this morning. It was awesome. So my condolences to the family on behalf of myself and the Thompson family. My condolences to the gospel music community. And, brother, I'm feeling your heart and your weight in terms of this because I know how you all work together.
Yeah.
And we mimicked him. I mean, we mimicked him. I'm doing a project now, and I can see the influences of Al Hobbs in the project that I'm doing now. So it is his life was a blessing. His life was uplifting. And I hope that many of you all who knew him best will continue not only his work, but his life lesson so that other of us can grow and blossom in this time and in this generation.
Jonathan Thompson, thank you very, very much. Russ Dodge worked with WTLC with Al Hobbs for many, many years, and he's on our live line. Russ, how you doing?
We're fine, Amos. Been mentally prepared for the transition here for a little bit. So I do want to make this a celebration, as many of the callers have all afternoon, because that's a pretty special situation, the opportunity to work with Al for the time that I did. It was a man who took a chance on me a couple years out of college and was looking to get in a bigger radio market. And it could have been any place in the Midwest. It ended up being Indianapolis. I have to look back and say, well, gee, it totally changed the course of my life from that day forward in 1977. And some of the things we accomplished at the radio station, you and Jay and Roger and Al and everybody else there, they were quite special and things that would not be duplicated again. Some of the total reach that we had, WTLC at one point in time, I seem to remember, right. Had a 90% reach of the entire black community. That's, totally unheard of, in this day and age. You'd drive down the street when we started our window sticker campaign that Al, helped put together, and you'd see 9 out of 10 cars have those stickers on along 34th Street or 38th Street or wherever the heck it was we were. Pretty amazing, and I do some work with radio stations outside of Indianapolis these days, and they know and remember Al Hobbs in Kokomo, Muncie, Marion, places where the 106.7 signal doesn't go anymore, but the big 50,000 watt station absolutely did. One of the things that was very special for me after many, many years of doing broadcast all over the state of Indiana, doing work with my own company and had the opportunity to reconnect with Al, which was 3 years ago, and we put the Love Express back on the radio in Indianapolis on a little non-commercial WITT, and then we followed it up with Sunday Morning Joy.
Right.
I've been around for 2 years and had quite a special time, working with Al on a regular basis on that show and, reconnecting and, both of us being in each other's lives again on a fairly regular basis, and realized good that situation was one more time. One little thing that I will share that a few years ago there was the documentary Indie Rock Radio Wars, which for the most part deals with the battle of WIFE and WNAP, but there was a nice segment in there that included Al talking about the origins of WTLC, which had every bit to do with the changing landscape of radio in 1968. And Al was there just a couple of years after it. But, if you ever see the Channel 20 is showing that documentary again, set your recorder or DVR, check it out because there's a nice segment in there.
Russ Dodge, we appreciate another perspective of just a there's more facets on Al Hobbs' life and career than there are spokes on a wheel or some would say stars in the sky. Appreciate that. We'll take a break, catch up on traffic as we continue in the final hour of this tribute to our brother, our friend, our colleague. A person grounded in the Lord, as many have said, a person that is multifaceted, or as Pastor Jeffrey Johnson said, someone who got maybe more talents from God than one normally gets and used all of them to the fullest. He was Al the Bishop Hobbs. Services have not yet been set. As soon as the family lets us know, we will let you know. It's Afternoons with Amos, special edition, remembering our brother, Al Hobbs.
AM 1310, The Light remembers Al the Bishop Hobbs. We will always love you. AM 1310.
Hello there, this is Al the Bishop Hobbs.
Rest in power. AM 1310, The Light.
All right, we're back. Marcia Bennett, long time go-to person, exhibit coordinator, woman about Indiana Black Expo, joins us in studio. We still have Dr. Leonard Scott and Sydney Scott of Ty Scott. Marcia Bennett, from the perspective of how you knew Al Hobbs, his legacy, what made him so unique?
Al was a genius, number one. I met Al Hobbs when I came on board with Indiana Black Expo back in 1984. And I, at that time, I didn't realize the role that he played with Indiana Black Expo. To my surprise, a lot of things that were going on was because of Al Hobbs. Mm-hmm. He was a genius with coming to, with programs and with themes for the year. I know I would be with him sometimes and he'd be brainstorming. He would come up with, changing the chains of time and working together works. I was really impressed when he actually created a song, Working Together Works. He put that music together, and I tell you, the volunteers and the staff, we would sing that all the time because it really had a lot of meaning for the people who were working with Indiana Black Expo and Radio 1. Plus, that time it was WTLC, and to see a general manager of the radio station who had the power to take and grow Indianapolis, not just locally, but internationally, for the freedom that we had with the airtime, and with his new ideas of coming up with different programs, reaching out to the community. One thing he always said is that you have to keep your finger on the pulse of the community to know what they need, to know what they want to do, what they want to see. That's important. And so, out of that, we were able to create a lot of different workshops that affected the families, the entire family, the woman of the family, the child of the family, the father of the family. We were able to focus, and actually do serious programming in regards to that to, again, help our community to strengthen the family. And one thing that he loved so much was to feed the hungry at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. He would pull together some great volunteers and members of the church, and we would get out there and put the bags together. He was so organized. He had a profile for everything that he did, and he did it well. So once I came on board with Indiana Black Expo and started working with Al the Bishop, I grew to love him very dearly. He was a mentor to me. I learned a lot from him. One of his sayings, he was so cool. Even if Murphy's Law, if you will, would show up in a process of him trying to do one of his programs, but he would always maintain a cool attitude, and he would just says, it is what it is, and we just have to keep the ball going.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
239-1310. 239-1310. Afternoons with Amos, special edition, remembering Al the Bishop Hobbs. Let me go to Michael. Hi there. Michael, you're on the air. Yes, you're on the air. Yes, go ahead.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. I've got a couple of points I want to make, and I'll let other callers call in. But the first thing I remember, Pastor Henry Green introduced me to Al Hobbs. I was a very energetic guy with ideas. And so Henry Green facilitated that meeting, and Al Hobbs said, okay, I'll let you be an intern with a lay hold on these three conditions. You'll run upstairs to the copy machine at that time near the DJ booth of the radio station and make all the copies. There was no email then. You had to mail out all the things to the guilds and GWA. And then, two, you had to get coffee, and I need three sugars in my coffee. And the third thing is,
you love coffee.
Sit down. When you come to the meetings of Vallejo, sit down and don't open your mouth and just listen. on those three conditions, you get to be an intern. And so baby brother was there. Then the most important thing, I think, of all the different things I learned over the years, I learned to sell. But I'll never forget one day, my sophomore year, the summer of my sophomore year, I came back to Morehouse, and I'm interning with Alejo again. And it was Amos Brown and Al Hobbs in Al's office. And both of you were emphatic to me, and you said, and I quote, "Michael, you will get more out of life when the work you do helps more people than the dollar you make." Mm. Today, I'm negotiating internationally. Japan is a very special place for us. But as I go to work today, that message that y'all gave me when I was very young is at work and alive right now. I'm grateful for Al Hobbs and all that he invested in me. I'm grateful for all that you invested in me, Amos, and I'll never, ever be able to say thanks enough to what y'all put into me and the exposure y'all had exposed me to and the difference that it makes in my life today. It wouldn't be the same without you. So as we salute Al Hobbs today, my condolences to his family and my gratitude that will be forever because of what you, Kenzie Green, and Al Hobbs meant to me. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Ralph at 239-1310. Hi there. Ralph?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Ralph. You're on the air.
Times, bro. How you doing?
Fine.
Amos?
Yeah, I'm fine. What's up?
Hey, man. I'm just listening to you on my cell phone while you talk, and I just wanted to simply say I'm going to miss Al. Of course, you know, for personal reasons, because you know Al brought me into TLC when we did the jazz programming.
Yes.
From 10 to 12, 5 days a week, which was a great, great thing, and I'm missing. And I'm totally shocked about his passing. But Al and I spent a lot of years before I originally got to TLC, back in Villa days, when they were on Villa Street, just listening to Marcia talk about Al. And everything that Marcia's quoted, you know, that was my boy. He was very precise to the point. And I loved him, and I respected him, and I'm going to miss him greatly. And I know this community is going to miss him because the things that he brought to this community, as Marcia said, he constantly kept his finger on the pulse.
I appreciate that, Brother Ralph Adams. Let me go to Sister Linda Clemens. Hi, Elsie.
Hey, Amos. I'll tell you, this is, sometimes it's a sad and yet a happy occasion because, you know, we sometimes either rejoice when someone is able to go home. But what was so interesting when I'm listening to Marcia and everyone, I remember Al back in the days when I was in my 20s. Unfortunately, that wasn't yesterday. And prior to him getting on the radio, we all used to do fashion shows together because I grew up listening to another great voice, the great Milton Nixon, and, of course, the melodic sounds of, you know, B. Moten. Mm. And it was me working with Al and Alpha and Dee Dee and many of them back in the days in the fashion arena. And Al would always have me as a commentator, and he had given me a nickname. He called me, by my name, he called me Linda Clemons. So for the longest, people were calling me Linda Clemons because that's what Al would call me. And I tell you, I had so many great times, and all I have left is but great memories. And that's fortunate that I was able to thank him for the opportunities that he made available to me and to let him know while he was alive that I was one of many who cared for him. So even though it's a sad day, you know, sunrises are beautiful, but sunsets are also beautiful, too. Mm. So, you know, so thank you, Amos, for allowing us to, for those that loved him and remember him, for sharing this opportunity.
Appreciate that, Linda. Bishop Tom Benjamin earlier talked about Al's fashionista sense before nobody knew what fashionista was. And that's a good point. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll be back with almost our remaining moments going up until 6 o'clock with remembrances of Al the Bishop Hobbs. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more after these.
Trailblazer, trendsetter, friend, we will miss you. Al the Bishop Hobbs, AM 1310, The Light. We honor the legend, the man, our friend, Al the Bishop Hobbs, AM 1310, The Light.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Amos. You know, this is truly a sad day for Indianapolis. You know, like the caller before me, I remember Al Hobbs from my 20s, and I remember when Robert Turner God rest his soul, when they used to have the, child, who is this calling me? But anyway, you know, Robert Turner used to have his gospel music program because things that you would see Al Hobbs there, and there was Steve Coleman Concert Choir and all of them. I mean, I will truly miss Al Hobbs. I really will. And I miss him and the great, you know, like Sugar Poindexter and all of them who would be on the radio and just help us. You know, I will be honest with you. I love listening to 1310 AM, 1310 Alive, but it's not like it used to be, you know, years of old, the way they would play gospel music on Sunday evenings. You would really look forward to that, you know, on Sunday evenings. So I'm truly going to, like most of Indianapolis, we're really going to miss, I should say all of Indianapolis, we're going to really miss Al the Bishop Hobbs and his contribution that he made to our city.
All right, appreciate that, Lynn. Thank you. Ryan Bennett worked with Al the Bishop Hobbs at Indiana Black Expo and kind of connected to this other Bennett that I got here in the studio next to me. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
All right, yeah, it's a very, very sad day, and a great legend is definitely going to be missed. I can remember growing up in Indiana Black Expo and then always getting excited every year when he would do StarQuest, and StarQuest was just a great opportunity for people to be able to showcase their talents on a platform that they've never been able to do before. And he made it possible. And he was such a great powerhouse in the community for people. He cared about people. And he will definitely, definitely be missed.
I appreciate that, Ryan. Let me go to John at 239-1310. Hi, John.
Yeah, this is, are we there?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, praise the Lord to the Hobbs family and condolences from the Bailey family. I'm a previous old school musician from the Bugs Temple days when Al would narrate the midnight musicals at Bugs Temple, and I was one of the musicians that was always on point at that particular time to make sure that the broadcast got started at that time. But then I left to go on to do other things. I was a musician for the Silver Hearts. But we want to grace the family and send Al on up to glory as we all hope to go at one day. God bless us all.
All right. Appreciate that. Ricky Solid Gold Clark worked with Al Hobbs from the early years at WTLC down on Villa. He joins us now. Ricky? What is, in your mind, Al Hobbs' legacy?
Oh, man, Amos, like I said, you're right, we go back. Actually, Al gave me my first job when I was 12 years old at 7-Eleven. I wanted to be a stock boy so bad, and so he gave me the opportunity, but he made me, before I could do the stock work and take people's groceries out, he made me mop the floors and clean the shelves 2 weeks before I got promoted to that. And so with that, you know, and then of course working with him at TL, I mean, he was a legend, a true legend. One of the co-founders of the Gospel Music Workshop of America. You know, back in the day, he taught us all as jocks, you're going to be able to, you have to be able to do more than just be on the air. And that meant public service, that meant production, that meant community involvement. And a lot of us back then, you know, you kind of worked not only doing the secular music, but you also did gospel when him and Sugar had to be out of town. So, you know, I just remember him as being a true stand-up legend with a nickname that he gave me as being the short arm of the law. I mean, you know, that was his personal nickname to me, you know, rather than Ricky Solid Gold Clark. He thought, all right, here we come. Here's the short arm of the law. So make way for him. So, you know, he's truly going to be missed. He allowed me to serve as executive producer on two of his projects, one with him, Al Hobbs, and Eternal Light, and then the Laura Lee project I was able to do. And then he allowed me to do two albums on Robert Turner and the Silverheart as his producer. So I'm pleased that I had that opportunity to work with him, not only in radio, in the musical industry, and, of course, giving me my first job at 12 years old at 7-Eleven.
Ricky, we talked earlier when Lamar Campbell was here about the legacy that lives with a performer. A lot of times are the songs that performer writes, because that's the legacy that's like the gift that keeps on giving, and that's the legacy, because then that's people perpetuating what you created ad infinitum in different types of styles. And I think a lot of people know about the singing, they know about the records with the producing, but they don't know about the songwriting.
No, they don't. The songwriting and the arranging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Al did both, writing songs, and on a lot of songs, he did the actual full arrangement on those songs, both for the musicians as well as the vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a true talent, his music will live on. People, I'm sure, will record his songs forever and a day, because he was not one-dimensional. He was a complete package in the musical industry as well as being in radio.
Is it, given all the conversations that we have had and probably will have between now and the formal celebration of life in worship and praise on his life, the fact that he is so multidimensional, but the mainstream media doesn't have a clue at how unique this person was. If his name was Bill Gates, the media would all be falling all over themselves. Oh, isn't this just fantastic? Or if his name was Disney, or if his name was Edison, the fact that his name is Al Hobbs and he worked in the black community and his culture venue was gospel, does that not diminish it? Because in our minds, he's not diminished, he's embellished. But is this an example of how, Dr. Scott, mainstream society diminishes our geniuses?
Yeah, our culture, I guess. You know, I was, and as you were talking to Ricky Clark, I thought back, and you're talking about writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a song called Order My Steps,
mm-hmm.
In Your Word. That was on Al's, Al did that mm-hmm. Project.
Right.
And that song has been sung probably in every church in America, of our persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
and it's still being sung. It's, mm-hmm. A powerful song. And if somebody's not behind the song to really make it do what it has the potential to do, you know, nobody will hear it except the people that wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Al was instrumental in making that happen.
Why do I get the feeling that that service, there's going to be a mass choir singing of Order My Steps? Why do I have that feeling?
It's a signature song.
That's a signature song.
Yeah.
Very signature.
Exactly.
Song. Very signature song.
Ricky, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
239-1310, 239-1310, special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We need to tell you that on the regular program this coming Monday, from 1 to 3 in our 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to some guy named Joe Hogsett. He just quit his job and he found him a little job, and maybe he'll tell us what other jobs he may or may not be going on. We'll be talking with him on that. I-STEP results will be released on Monday. Unfortunately, they're not going to let us know right away how African-American young people did on I-STEP, and that's not too good. But we'll talk about all of that on Tuesday on the program. There's going to be a public hearing on whether we all have to pay for the cost of those French electric cars on our electric bill. They're going to have the hearing at Crispus Attucks High School. Uh-oh. Which is a good thing. And the folks from Citizens Action Coalition will be with us on Tuesday talking about that, all that and more on the regular edition. We'll be back with our remaining moments and thoughts on Al the Bishop Hobbs after these.
Hello there, this is Al the Bishop Hobbs.
Rest in Tower, AM 1310, The Light. Gone but never forgotten, Al the Bishop Hobbs, AM 1310, The Light.
Final thoughts very quickly, Dr. Leonard Scott, Sidney Scott, and Marcia Bennett.
Al Hobbs, mover and shaker. Indianapolis has lost a great mover and shaker, and our condolences go out to the family.
Sidney.
Condolences to the family, and I would say that Al is a visionary, and we could definitely feel the loss, but at the same time, I feel that he has left us all with a great responsibility with all the deposits that he's made into the various lives that have worked with him, and with his concern and compassion for people. He's left an itinerary that we can pick up and carry and bring back to restoration the things that matter to community, people, church, and faith, and radio.
Marcia Bennett.
We have lost a genius. We have lost a man of power, a man of power of God. And I just want to give my condolences to his family, bless his children and his close friends. And we look forward to just celebrating the life of Al the Bishop Hobbs in the days to come.
We want to thank Drew for doing his thing, and especially want to thank our Kim Wells for putting a lot of this together. Thank you. And need to listen to on our FM sister station, WTLC 106.7, this Sunday, 8 o'clock. Kim will have an exclusive interview with Jay Johnson, and some other guy, me, I think it's me. And, you'll hear it there first, and you'll hear it on AM a little bit later next week. We want to thank, and I want to thank Al Hobbs. If it was not for him, I would not be here. Would not have been here for 40 years without him. And want to thank his family for allowing him to serve, for enduring a whole lot over the years to allow him to serve. And to his kids, to Alex, to Asha and Bridget, thank you for sharing your dad with this city, with gospel music, to Expo, and to the many, 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 many people he touched in this community, around this nation, and around this world. He raised some great kids. He did great work. And we know that Al Hobbs is one that when he hit the check-in desk, the God we all serve, we know that not only Gabriel was at the gate, we know he got the invitation, Jesus is waiting for you down the road. And you'll have an audience with God Almighty because, yes, you were well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm Amos Brown. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And back to my brother.
Come on, church. When I wanna be close to you,
I lift my hand.
Somebody lift it.
My hand in
praise. Somebody said, so the devil will hear you. Praise is who I am.
We're ushering you into the presence of God with inspiration and praise on AM 1310, The Light.
To the Lord, to the Lord.